Hello, Extra Point podcast listeners. Glad you're tuning into this episode. Welcome back. Today is Tuesday, December the 9th. My name's Todd, and I'm one of the pastors at First Family. Thanks for jumping on board today. And I want to take a moment and bring forth to you a couple of extra applications from the text we looked at Sunday. As you know, that is the point of the Extra Point podcast, to bring some further application, additional insight, further information, those kinds of things. That's what we do on the Extra Point podcast. And so I want to bring to your attention a couple of additional applications that I found very helpful. Didn't mention them Sunday, but they do arise out of not only the specific text from Sunday, but just the overall portion of Scripture that we're looking at during Advent, which is Luke 1, about 26 through 56. As you know, Sunday I made the point that the text is very covenantal. This portion shows God bringing to completion and fulfilling all the prophecies of the Old Testament pertaining to Christ's birth. It's the dawn of the new covenant. That's what the incarnation is showcasing. And as I thought more about that and the covenantal leanings of this section, it struck me that that time span is, it's a good 2,500, 3,000 years. As you may know, from creation to Christ is about 4,000 years. So if you move forward to Abraham and then to David, you know, somewhere within that, you've got 2,500, 3,000 years. But let's just take the creation to Christ. That's a span of about 4,000 years. And what God is fulfilling in this moment of Christ's birth, what we celebrated Advent, what we're looking at in our messages and our time together on Sunday, the announcement from Gabriel to Mary, you know, that came several thousand years after even the first prophecy. So as you work your way through that timeline, it wasn't that God was slow, it wasn't that he forgot, but God does take time to work his purposes. We may not know all the reasons why, but there's a long stretch of time here. And it really made me realize something that I think we hold to. I think the New Testament would confirm this, that time is God's greatest laboratory. Within that time, often trials are his greatest tool. But I think we can safely say, looking at the covenant themes and the covenant emphasis in Luke 1, and how it's the fulfillment of all that took place over thousands of years and many generations and centuries, we can conclude and say that time is God's greatest laboratory. And yet I think you'd admit with me that often time is the hardest thing to surrender. It's the most difficult thing to do, to wait. Patience doesn't come easily. I was speaking to one of our gentlemen after the service, and he brought this to my attention as well and just encouraged me with his beautiful posture of just waiting on the Lord. He is currently in a time of waiting, and he sees what God's doing in broad strokes, but you know, specific timing, details, it's not really clear right now. And so he and his wife were just saying, man, they want to be patient. They want to wait. They want to make sure they see what God's doing in the bigger picture, the long term. And we just both really rejoiced and concluded, yes, time is God's greatest laboratory. But that really cuts against our grain, doesn't it? And I would say, especially in this 21st century, we become accustomed to things done quickly and hastily. And so I just want to encourage you, never forget that time is God's greatest laboratory. And within that laboratory, trials may actually be his greatest tool. This seems to be what James says. They work completion and perfection in us, meaning maturity. So as you're waiting on the Lord, as you're seeing what God's doing in your life, as you're enduring faithfully, never lose sight that God hasn't forgotten. He's not asleep. He's not even slow, but he's working out a plan that often takes time because that's his greatest laboratory. The second application I did not make Sunday because I was focused on the main symmetry I find in that specific text. The other larger one I think that covers really all of Advent, regardless of the text, is the fact that Advent really is about the coming of Christ, his first coming, the incarnation. But what it does in us is learn to wait within God's timing. It builds in us anticipation, not for his first coming again. That won't happen. but it builds in us anticipation for his second coming, which we know is guaranteed just like the first one. And there is a long span of time between these two comings. We see that. Peter addresses this and talks about how some, because of that, scoff and they mock and they ridicule and they quit believing that Christ will keep his word and fulfill his promise and come again. But I can assure you, based on the word of God, the character of God, that the promise of Christ's second return is as sure as the promise of his first coming. And so Advent, even as we celebrate his first coming, and much of our attention is kind of towards the past. We look at what occurred. We think about how it happened, and we rejoice in that. We celebrate that. I want it to move us to a faithful, confident posture in the present so that we are anticipating Christ's second return, his second coming, when he comes and abolishes death and sets up his kingdom and consummates what he inaugurated at his first coming. And this is what we're waiting on. So often in Advent, we can be so focused on the past that we forget that it's to build anticipation in us for the future. Let's not let that occur. Perhaps it does occur because there is such a long time between the comings. And maybe we do grow a tad weary and we wonder when he's coming. I'd remind you, Paul and those early disciples, they were expecting Christ to come in their lifetime. Many New Testament scriptures point to language and the usage of words that indicates they were expecting him to return and they were going to be part of that gathering together. It's been 1,000 years or more now since, we're in the 2000s, so it's been a while since the ascension and we're waiting along with those around us, but let's not lose heart, let's not lose hope. Remember, time is God's greatest laboratory. He's working a plan now. It's the gospel to every nation, language, tribe, and tongue. We're part of that sending force. We're part of that mobilized people to get the gospel to all the nations. That's why there's this long time. So let's not lose hope or confidence. Let's continue to look and wait and long for the coming of Christ, knowing this, that just as he fulfilled the promises of the Old Testament and came a first time, even after a long time, he will come again a second time, fulfilling every single promise of his second coming.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.